Amen. October the 16th, 2005, I met up with that grace. Amen. I'd experienced it my whole life. I just didn't realize it, but that night I realized it. Thank God for His grace. Amen. John chapter number 6. I got to say this, Brother Cooley. I enjoyed the presentation when you were talking about Oregon, and even just thinking about some of the stuff that I saw in Chaz and Portland during 2020. I actually turned to the scripture. I was thinking about Apostle Paul. The Bible said he was stirred in his spirit when he saw Athens. The city was holy, given to idolatry. And he went there to Mars Hill and he preached. And I was thinking about Oregon. There's places in our country, and they're not very far from here, a lot like where Paul was preaching. They got a God, but it's the unknown God. They don't know who He is. They don't know the real God. And so it's just a blessing to hear somebody's going to take them the true God, the real God. Amen. We're going to continue tonight looking at the life of Peter. And I tell you, Peter's life's been, Brother Cooley also was talking about preaching through the book of Acts and how God was speaking to him. And I was to be honest with you, God's really been speaking to me. Talked about Peter's challenge a couple weeks ago, and the Lord challenged me in my own life and studying it. And then talked last week about Peter's courage and how that he walked on water. He stepped out, and he stepped out on the water, and God's really just been speaking to my heart. I want to live a life of courage. Tonight, I want to look at Peter's convictions. You probably, if you've been following along, and those of you that know me, you know that I've been using C's for my messages on Peter. And you probably read tonight, and if you've got a Schofield or even any type of reference Bible, you probably thought, well, I know what Brother David's preaching tonight. He's preaching on Peter's confession. And Peter did make a confession here in John chapter number 6. And my Bible says it's Peter's confession of faith. But I tell you, originally that's what I thought I was going to preach on tonight. But as I've been studying this passage of Scripture, God just really brought to my heart the thought about Peter's conviction. And I want to speak to you tonight about that thought, Peter's conviction. The word convictions means this. I looked it up. It means a firmly held belief. It's the state of mind of a person who is sure that what he or she believes or says is true. Tonight, as we look at this passage of Scripture, as Pastor said, very familiar passage of Scripture, I want to give you a little groundwork as we lead up to the convictions of Peter. And I want us to go back, and so turn back in John chapter number 6, and I want to start out in verse number 22, because I want you to see that as far as I can tell, and I've read and I've researched and I've studied, but as far as I can tell, I believe that the account that we're going to look at tonight is the day following Peter walking on the water. Now, it could possibly took a couple days, but I don't think so. The Bible says in verse number 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. The Bible says, verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Now, I think this happened all in the same day. Now, I said it could have taken more than one day for them to get across the sea, but I doubt it. I believe that this is the same day, the day following that Peter had walked on the water when Jesus came and he told Peter. Peter said, if it's you, Lord, can I come? And the Lord said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. And we looked at that. We talked about Peter's courage. I believe the day following is what we're looking at here. And in verse number 25, it says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Now, I want to say this. Verse 59 says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So I want you to see, and this is just a side note. I actually just thought about this. I want you to see where they found Jesus. They found him in the synagogue. Can I tell you, that's a good place to find Jesus. And I know I'm speaking to people tonight that on Super Bowl Sunday are at the house of God. But can I tell you, it's a good place to be in the house of God, because that's where Jesus is, right? They say Jesus is everywhere. Sure, Jesus is everywhere. But the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst. And can I tell you, hey, Jesus is in the house tonight. And these people went looking for Jesus, and they went to a good place to find Jesus, and it was at the house of God. It was at the synagogue, right? They went to church, right? And so the first point tonight I want us to see is the content of the preaching. So I want you kind of got the scene here. These people have come, and they've searched for Jesus, and verse 59 says that he said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So obviously Jesus is at the synagogue. That's their church, so to speak, and he's teaching. So I would say, hey, Jesus is preaching. And so I want us to see first the content of his preaching. I tell you, I would have loved to heard Jesus preach. I thought about this, the content of Jesus preaching. The first thing I thought about that was, it was straight. You know, and when I say straight, I want you to understand what I mean. When Brother Cooley left the room tonight, I thought about it. I believe, Pastor, I believe it was the word you used. He said, that brother right there is straight. Now, you say, what did he mean by that? He said, I think what he meant was, he's doctrinally sound. He's straight. That's why we interview our missionaries on Sunday nights when they come here. We want to find out whether they're straight or not, right? And I can't tell you the times that I've used that comment, and I said, man, that guy, he's straight down the line. He's straight. But can I tell you this? If we're honest, we're going to probably get to heaven to find out we wasn't as straight as we thought we were. But I got something for you tonight. This is straight.
Amen.
It don't get any straighter than this right here. When Jesus is preaching, it's straight. I mean, it is line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It is as straight as it can get when Jesus is preaching. I thank God for our church. I believe our church is preaching is straight. I believe it's doctrinally sound. But can I tell you, it doesn't get any more straight and any more doctrinally sound than when the Lord Jesus is preaching. And so the content of his preaching was, it was straight. I'm telling you, Jesus was preaching some straight doctrine. If you read through there here, and I'm not going to do it for sake of time tonight, Jesus is speaking about salvation. Jesus is speaking about the sovereignty of God. Jesus is speaking about the security of the believer. Jesus is speaking about his sacrificial death. It's all right here in John chapter number 6. You go home and read about it. Jesus is preaching some straight, sound doctrine to these people. And so the content of his preaching is, it was straight. But number two, not only was it straight, can I tell you, it was strong. Jesus' preaching was strong. We say this a lot around here, but it bothers me when I see these pictures that the world has put out of Jesus, and he almost looks like some effeminate, you know, soft-spoken. That's not our Lord Jesus. Jesus was a man's man. Jesus spoke with authority. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus got up and shouted. I don't believe that he did. But I believe when Jesus spoke, it was strong and it was straight and it was sound. And I think it had authority behind it. The Bible actually says that. Look at verse number 60. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, what would they hear? The preaching, the teaching. Is that when many of them had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Yeah. You know what they said? That's some strong preaching. I mean, if you read through this, you'll see, look at verse 26. Jesus started out his sermon when they came to him. They said, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. That's strong preaching right there. Jesus said, hey, you came here because I gave you some meat. Jesus said, you came here because I gave you some bread. You came here because of the loaves that if you read in John chapter number six earlier, before Jesus sent his disciples on the sea, right before that, Jesus fed the 5,000. And Jesus said, I know why you're here. He was preaching straight. He was preaching strong. He said, hey, you come here for carnal reasons, and I want to tell you, hey, you're laboring for the wrong thing. I mean, it's some strong preaching. Look at verse number 43. Jesus therefore answered them, said, Murmur not among yourselves. No man come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I mean, this is some strong preaching. Jesus is giving it to him straight. Jesus is giving it to them strong. He said, hey, don't murmur among yourselves. I mean, Jesus is giving them some straight preaching, some strong preaching. But not only that, I'll tell you something else about it. Jesus is giving them some spiritual preaching. Look at verse number 62. The Bible says, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. There's that strong again. I mean, do you see it here? Jesus is shooting it straight. He's giving it to them strong. He's not watering it down. He said, there's some of you that don't believe here. And Jesus said, hey, but not only is it straight, not only is it strong, but Jesus said, this is spiritual. He said, you don't understand what I'm saying because you're thinking about it the wrong way. See, what I'm preaching, they said, this is a hard saying. I mean, he wants us to eat him? Eat his flesh and drink his blood? What is this that he's preaching? And Jesus said, nah, you don't understand. You see, Jesus wasn't just preaching straight and strong, but Jesus was preaching spiritual. I think back in John chapter number 4, same thing he did with the woman at the well. He said, I'll give you some water that you'll never thirst again. She said, where is this water that I may drink? He said, I am the water. He said, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. In John chapter number 3, he went to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, he said, well, how is that? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you got it all wrong. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. See, he said, Nicodemus, and then he goes on in verse number 8, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said, Nicodemus, art thou not a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He said, see, Nicodemus, if I told you about these things and you don't understand, you ain't going to understand about these other things because they're spiritual things. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter number 2, I wrote it down here, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul said this by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Jesus is preaching strong, he's preaching straight, he's preaching spiritual. That's what I want to do. I've heard some carnal preaching. If you've been around church long, you've probably heard some carnal preaching. You say, what's carnal preaching, Brother David? It's just something that ain't got the spirit. It's got a spirit, but it ain't the spirit, right? It's all about the flesh. It's entertainment. It's emotion. It's mean. It's angry. It's all kinds of all things, but it's not spiritual preaching. And Jesus is preaching, and it's spiritual preaching. Jesus said, hey, I'm giving you something that only saved people can understand. I'm convinced tonight that one of the reasons that people don't want to hear preaching is because they're not saved. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. I didn't like preaching before I got saved. But now that I'm saved, I love preaching. Why? Because preaching is spiritual. And so we see the content of the preaching. It was spiritual. It was strong. It was straight. But also I want us to see this, the contempt of the people. I want to look at how they responded to the preaching of Jesus. First, in verse number 30, I want to see this. Verse 30 says this, they said therefore unto him, what signs showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So these people come to Jesus, so we saw the content of his preaching, and now I want us to see the contempt of the people. They said they doubted him. They doubted Jesus. They said, what sign are you going to show? Jesus said, hey, you believe on me. Look at it in verse number 29. Jesus answered said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. He said, you need to believe on me. They said, what sign are you going to show us? You see, they doubted Jesus. And what really blows my mind about this, I was thinking about it this afternoon. I mean, this is the same people that saw him feed 5,000. It's the same crowd. He said to him in verse number 26, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." These people had saw Jesus feed 5,000 folks, but yet they're doubting him. They said, "Oh, you fed 5,000. Well, you know what? Moses, he fed the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. What are you going to do?" They were doubting him. I hope that's not somebody here tonight. Doubting Jesus. But you know, when you preach the word of God, there's always going to be doubters. I don't know if that's, you know, you really believe Jesus fed 5,000? You really, Brother Dave, you really believe that Peter walked on water? See, there's always going to be doubters. They were there. They were doubting the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, if they doubt Jesus' preaching, they're going to doubt Brother David's. They were doubting him. Not only that, they were disputing with him. Look in verse number 42. The Bible says, and they said, verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him, grumbling, disputing, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Look at verse 52. The Bible says, then the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" Look at verse number 61. The Bible says this, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. So we got Jesus is preaching, right? You get the picture here? The Lord Jesus Christ is preaching. We're at church, right? Jesus is in the church. He's in the synagogue. He's preaching the word of God, straight, sound, strong, spirit-filled, and the people are doubting him. The people are disputing with him. They're murmuring and they're striving and they're saying, "How are you the one that came from heaven? You're the son of Joseph. You're the son of Mary. I know who you are." And so they're doubting him. They're disputing with him. They're disgruntled with him. And then they even depart from him. Look at verse number 66, the Bible says. Verse 65, and he said, "Therefore I said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." And verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They departed. You know, I'm about to get into my message now, and I won't be long. I've been trying to earn your respect back. I don't know if you've noticed it on Sunday night. See, when I used to say I won't be long, you didn't believe me. But I've been watching every week. I check my time, and I'm trying to slowly chip away so that when I say I won't be long, you'll believe me, right? I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but nobody wants to see a halftime show anyway. That's garbage, right? And I ain't met a Rams or a Bengals fan in 41 years. So I mean, really, who cares, right? But I didn't know what I was talking about now. Oh, convictions, right? Convictions. When the word of God is preached, straight, strong, spirit-filled, there's going to be people that doubt. There's going to be people that dispute. And as much as I hate to say it, there's going to be people that depart. They're going to leave. Brother Cooley's going to deal with it. He gets the organ and he starts preaching that book right there. There's going to be some that's going to say, "Man, there's something going on down at that church. I think I'm going to go check that place out." And then when that Bible comes out and that preaching starts out strong and straight and spirit-filled, they're going to start saying, "Whoa, who's this guy? I've never heard that dialect before. What country is he from?" I asked him how long he was going to spend in language school when he got to Oregon, right? I said, if he's like my mother-in-law, he'll never master the language, right? He's gonna keep his accent until he goes to the grave. But, you know, I mean, there's going to be people, they're going to doubt, they're going to dispute, and there's going to be some that are going to depart. And the ones that are going to stick around, I'll tell you how they're going to do it. Some of our young people, I was thinking about our young people tonight, and it's not Youth Sunday or anything, but I'm a youth pastor, and I just can't help it. I think about young people. I'll tell you what's going to keep some of these young people in church. You got to get some convictions. Peter had some convictions. You say, "Well, Peter failed." I know. We'll talk about that when we get there. But he got back up. You know why? Because Peter had some conviction about him. Peter had some things that he firmly held to, some things that he really believed. They were truth to him. You see, there was folks that when they heard the word of God, oh, they doubted it, they disputed with it, they got up, they departed, they left it. They didn't want nothing to do with it. You say, well, were they saved or were they not saved? I don't know. That's a great question. I don't think the Bible says. I tend to maybe lean towards the fact that maybe those people were not saved because of some of the things that Jesus said. He said he's talking about them that have been quickened by the Spirit, and the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life, but there are some of you that believe not. So there's a big part of me that thinks most of these people were disciples, like Judas was a disciple. So I think most of these people were not saved, and Jesus got to preaching straight, strong, spirit-filled. And can I tell you, unsaved people ain't going to stick around that too long. They'll either get in or get out. And so I believe most of these people got out. But you know what? Maybe not. It did say that they were his disciples. Maybe they were not that natural man. Maybe that carnal man. They just couldn't take it. It was too hard for them. Too straight for them. Too strong for them. Too spiritual for them. And so they left. They went away. I don't know. I'm not sure. I tend to lean towards they were not saved. But maybe they were saved and they just walked away. But either way, I'll say this. Peter stayed. Peter had some convictions about him. I told you what a conviction is. A conviction is this: a person who is sure that what he or she believes or says is true. I want to look at Peter's convictions. Let's look at it. Jesus, the Bible says, from that time, in verse number 66, from that time of many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. In verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? This is what we call, Brother Faulkner, where the rubber meets the road. This is a crossroads right here. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to ask his disciples. He turned and he looks at him and he says, hey, fellas, you going to leave? Kind of reminds me of Joshua when he stood up in Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 15, and he asked those people, he asked the children of Israel, he said, whom are you going to serve? He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Guys, what are you going to do? And Peter makes a bold statement. And you say, that's Peter's confession. And it is Peter's confession. We've got to tell you, Peter made a lot of confessions. You're talking about a man, Peter was always confessing something. I can relate to Peter. Sometimes they were great confessions, and sometimes they were not so great confessions. You talk a lot, you're going to make a couple of those. But Peter, I don't necessarily want to look at his confession. I want to look at his convictions. What did Peter believe? Number one, I want to see this. Peter believed, I want us to see his convictions about options. His conviction about options. Look at verse number 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Verse 68 says this, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Peter said, where are we going to go? That'd be a good question for us to ask ourselves tonight. Are you convinced tonight? I believe most of you are. But maybe there's a couple here. You're not convinced. Can I tell you, get some conviction about you. You know what's going to, I said our young people, you know what's going to keep some of you young people in church? You know what's going to keep some of you young people serving God? Well, number one, you need to get saved. But if you are saved, you know what's going to keep you serving God and keep you in church? You're going to have to get some convictions about you. You're going to have to make your mind about your options. You're going to have to realize, hey, there's nothing else on the table. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Peter said, what are we going to do? There is no other options. Where are we going to turn? And my question tonight, church, is where are we going to go? Where are we going to turn to? Are we going to turn to Catholicism? Mormonism? Islam, Hinduism, agnosticism, atheism, humanism, you mentioned it tonight, mysticism, liberalism, socialism, communism. What are we going to turn to? Foolism, You say, what is foolism, Brother David? I made that one up. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And somebody that wants to think there is no God, hey, they've turned to foolism is what they've turned to. Can I tell you, where are you going to go? Young people, where are you going to go? There's no other options. Get them off the table and make up your mind and get some conviction and say, there's no other place to go. Doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. Doesn't matter what our country does. It doesn't matter what our government does. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. The options are off the table. Where else am I going to go? That's what Peter said. Peter said, I've got a conviction about my options. There is none. Lord, I'm putting all my chips. I know that's not probably a good analogy in the house of God, but Peter said, hey, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in, Lord. All the chips are on the table. Can I tell you tonight, by the grace of God, and I mean it from the very bottom of my soul and my feet to the top of my head, as far as I can tell tonight, I am convicted tonight. I am convinced tonight. I have conviction tonight that there is no other option. There's nowhere else to go, Brother Brian. Nowhere else to turn. Where will you go? Peter said, I'm not going nowhere else. I found him. I'm going to stick with him. I'm going to follow him. The options are off the table. There needs to be a young person. Would to God that some young person in the house of God tonight, or maybe even some middle-aged person tonight, would decide, guess what? All the options are off the table. I don't want nothing else. Give me Jesus and nothing else. I want just Jesus and Jesus alone. That's what Peter said. Peter said, hey, I'm convinced tonight. He said, my conviction about the options. I think about Elijah up on Mount Carmel. Elijah said, told those prophets up there on Mount Carmel, he said, hey, choose you this day. He kind of said like what Joshua said. He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Elijah said, you need to make up your mind. Who are you going to follow? And those prophets of Baal, you know the story. I love it. One of my favorite chapters in all the Old Testament. Those prophets of Baal, I mean, they built their altar and they cried to their unknown God. And after a couple hours, Elijah stepped out there and he said, hey, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe your God is on vacation. Maybe your God has stepped away from the desk. Maybe your God has taken a break. He said, hey, who's your God? Brother, can I tell you, there is no God like our God. There's no rock like our rock. There is no other option tonight. We have found, we have plugged in to the source, and there's nowhere else to go. Get the options off the table. And I realize most of you have, but in case there's somebody that slipped in here tonight and you're doubting and you're disputing, and man, maybe you're thinking, as soon as I get out of my parents' house, I'm departing. Can I tell you, hey, decide tonight to get some conviction about you and say, hey, I'm not going anywhere. There's nowhere else to go. He said, his conviction about the options. Number two, his conviction about the outcome. I like this. Look at verse number 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Man, Pastor, you was preaching this morning. I was thinking, man, he's going to preach. I ain't got nothing to preach tonight. Amen. Peter said, where are we going to go, Lord? He was convinced. He had a conviction about the options. There are none. He had a conviction about the outcome. He said, Lord, we know, we are sure that where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. I want you to see this. I like this. Peter's convinced that the words that Jesus spoke were true. Are you convinced tonight? Amen. Are you convinced tonight? See, I'm afraid there's some in here you're not 100% convinced. Get convinced. Get some conviction that this book right here is absolute truth. No error whatsoever. It's the Word of God. You can build your life upon it. It's a foundation that is steadfast and sure. I preached that funeral I was talking about last Sunday on Tuesday of this past week, and I told those people, hey, everything else in this world is sinking sand. Everything else is sinking sand. But this is a rock that we can trust in. This is a rock that we can stand on. I'm convinced of that. Peter was. He was convinced of the outcome. Look at verse number 27. I'm going to go through these really quickly. Verse number 27. Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Look at verse number 35. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at verse number 39. He said, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Look at verse number 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, to everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Look at 44. No man come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Look at verse number 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse number 50. The Bible says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And that bread which I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Look at verse 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Look at verse number 63. Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Peter believed it. Peter believed it. He was convinced. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus had just been preaching. I just read them to you over and over and over again. Jesus is saying, hey guys, I will give you eternal life. I will give you everlasting life. Moses gave them people something and they're dead, but I'll give you something that will help you to live forever. And Peter believed it. Do you? Do you really believe that tonight? And I believe most do, Pastor. But I tell you, it's just something about, I'll never forget it. I've alluded to it numerous times, and God just brought it to my heart just now. I'll never forget sitting by Brother Dobbin's bedside, Pastor. He believed it. He believed it. I mean, Pastor was at the hospital the night, Brother Dobbin's, they told the doctor come in there and said he had a tumor the size of a lemon on his brain. Never batted an eye. He said, doctor said, well, before he even told him, he said, the doctor come in there and he said, sir, I need to give you the results of the test we run. He said, could I talk to you and your wife by yourself? He said, oh, no. That's my preacher and Brother David. You can go ahead and tell me what you got to say. He said, you sure? He said, yeah, go ahead. You remember that?
Amen, I do.
He said, well, sir, I want to tell you, you got to. A tumor the size of a lemon on your brain, and I don't think there's anything we can do for you. He said, okay. Doctor walked out, and he said, hon, so we called Ms. Dobbin, hon, he said, will you write our tithe check, because I don't know if I'm going to be at church Sunday. I said, that's right there. You know what that is? That's conviction. That's a man that believed the outcome. He knew where he was going. He wasn't doubting it a bit. And he was in church on Sunday. I remember he rolled in here in a wheelchair. I preached that Sunday and Bert had a fit. He believed it. Peter believed it. Do you believe it? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Peter believed what Jesus said about eternal life, about the outcome. If we're gonna really live for God and stick with it, we're gonna have to get that conviction settled.
That's right.
Jesus wins, brethren.
Amen.
Jesus wins. We young people, get in your heart now that this book is true. There's no other options, and the outcome is everlasting life. The outcome is the millennial kingdom. The outcome is heaven. The outcome is victory.
Right.
Peter was convinced of it. Are we? Not only that, was he convinced about the options, he was convinced about the outcome. And then last, and I'm done, he was convinced about the one. Look at verse number 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, that word's Adonai. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou has the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the, or art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was convinced of it. He said, you're the one. He said, you're the Lord. You're Adonai. I can't help but do this, Pastor. I mean, this one, I told Brother Brent, I said, Pastor, done took the meat out of my message tonight. I had wrote down some things, and I'm just going to give them to you, even though Pastor done it this morning. Can I tell you what Peter said? He said, you're the one. He said, you are the Lord. He said, you're Adonai. He said that thou art the Christ. You know what the Christ means? It's the anointed one. That's what that word Christ means. He said, you're Adonai. He said, you're the anointed one. He said, you are the Son of the living God. You're the Almighty One. You know what he is? He's the anointed one. He's the almighty one. He's the amazing one. He's the all the together lovely one. He's the always one. He's the alpha and omega one. He's the anchored one. He's the announced one. He's the answered one. He's the appearing one. He's the anticipated one. He's the appointed one. He's the approachable one. He's the approved one. He's the ascended one. He's the atoning one. He's the authoritative one. He's the awful one. He is the awesome one. That's who he is. And Peter was convinced of it. Peter said, that's who you are. You're him. You're the one. You're the Messiah. You remember a couple weeks, about a month ago, we looked at John chapter number 1 where Andrew came and he said, Peter, Simon, we found the one. We found the Messiah. So can I tell you, by John chapter 6, Peter believed it. Peter was convinced of it. Peter was convicted. He is the one. He's the anointed one. He's the awesome one. Are you convinced tonight? He's the one. Jesus. Peter was convinced of it. I like the order it says. He said this. He said in verse number 69, and we believe and are sure. You know, belief always comes before assurance. Belief comes before proof. There's folks tonight, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be straight and strong and spirit-filled. There's folks tonight that as I'm preaching, I can tell that you're not sure. You know why you're not sure tonight? Because you don't believe. He said, we believe and are sure. Belief always comes before assurance. Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes on, it says, and by faith we know that the worlds were formed by God. See, we believe and then we're sure. Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. He said, for I know whom I have believed. He said, I know whom I have believed. And he said, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he hath committed unto that day. You see, he said, I believe, and because I believe, I know. I believe, and because I believe, I am persuaded. I believe, and because I believe, I am sure. Do you believe? Peter believed. He said, we believe, and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe tonight? I hope my children's listening. Because when daddy's not around, you're going to have to believe something. If persecution comes, we're going to have to believe something. When hardship comes, when the rubber meets the road, when we come to a crossroads, we're going to have to believe something. When somebody we look up to falls, they let us down, they disappoint us, can I tell you, we're going to have to be convinced, like Peter was. There's no other options. Where are you going to go tonight? Where are you going to go? Watch the Super Bowl? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to turn to? The outcome isn't good. This outcome is great. He's the one. Get convinced of that tonight. Peter had conviction. He said, he's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. God, I pray tonight that somebody would get some convictions about. Lord, I pray someone here tonight that maybe is doubting, maybe they're disputing. God, I pray tonight that you would deal with their heart. And they would get some convictions about the options, about the outcome, about the one. God, help us, Lord, to be firmly settled in what we believe. God, I'm thankful tonight that I know in whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded that you're able to keep that which I've committed unto you, Lord. Thank you so much for your truth and your word. And I pray you'd bless it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed.